Good morning, Reverend Paul Slatkis. Boy, we have a very interesting gentleman to speak to today. African Americans have served in the military for more than 200 years. This year, Black History Month, the United States Army Reserve is recognizing the indispensable role of African American soldiers and paying tribute to their service. Today, African Americans make up more than 20% of the Army Reserve and serve on various levels of military leadership. Two examples today are the Army Reserve has the first African American to become the Army's Deputy Chief of Chaplains and the first African American to command the 91st Training Division. And here to talk about diversity, how diversity makes the Army Reserve stronger, and share a few stories of bravery, we like that, a lot of good news here, and services, Brigadier General Andrew Harwood, the first American to become the Army's Deputy Chief of Chaplains in the Army Reserve. Well, good morning. Can I say Padre or should I say Chaplain?
Chaplain is fine, Paul. Thank you so much for having me. And just by way of a quick cleanup, because I don't want my colleagues to beat me up, I'm the first African American to be the Army Reserve. For the Army Reserve, not just the first African American to become a chaplain, because we certainly had two chiefs. There's been David Hicks and of course Matthew Zimmerman, and for the National Guard, which is also a component of the Army, there was also a Chaplain Langford. So just want to make that quite correction. But it's a joy to be with you. And certainly to be able to spend some time talking with you this morning.
Well, you know, I just starting right off, I thought I had said the Army Reserve, but maybe I didn't. But they gave me to make sure I did. You know, I love when a man speaks and makes sure that everything is tidy and everything is right. And that's actually a chaplain's responsibility, is to be able to be there to hear somebody actually say when they're right or say when they're wrong, and or if they're having a bad day, right? What brought you into this kind of a chaplain? Well, let me ask you that right up front.
Well, you know, I tell you, service was always a part of was always a part of in my blood, and certainly my mother had a tremendous influence, you know, on me. You know, I didn't always. You know, some people say, well, you know, I always wanted to be this. That was not my journey. I think it became very clear, based upon how my life was moving, that was the calling that God has placed on my life. And it has been a joy. It has been extremely rewarding, because there's nothing greater than knowing that you are impacting someone's life. You may never see them again, even after you've served with them, all right? But at least you know that, at least in that moment, that there's something you either did or something you said that really has made a difference in that person's life. So I really view it as a tremendous honor to be able to just serve, but also serve as a chaplain.
And you've done your homework. Boy, you have a resume that won't quit. Oh my God, you really studied a lot. You went to Harvard, you went to chaplain school in the Army. I've learned a lot here. There's a lot of chaplains in the Army Reserve and in the school and programs. It's a very dedicated area. Am I correct here?
Absolutely. Chaplains, we are focused, in fact, in our crest, which is Latin, it says pro Dei et patria, which simply means for God and country. And so chaplains, when we say yes to the call, what we're really saying is that we want to serve God, but we equally want to serve country. And so in a very real sense, we bring soldiers to God, and we bring God to soldiers. And even those soldiers who perhaps don't believe in God, we're still there for them as well. So for me, you know, I think the ethic of leadership is really all about understanding your role in that moment, and certainly in the context of Black history, being able to just be there and to weave our stories into other people's stories, and to have other people's stories being woven into our stories, is a tremendous privilege, and also an honor.
Well, you know, you and the material they sent me, I'll be frank straight up here, and Andrew's life motto is "Don't tell me, show me." I love it. So let's talking about show me. So give us a couple examples, and I really thank you very much for the important work that you do and the dedication you have to our fellow brothers and sisters, I imagine, as well, right?
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. Well, that's important as well. So give us some thoughts here with regard to stories of bravery and service.
Well, you know, I would say that, you know, when you look at very specific examples, the brave drivers of the Red Ball Express, you know, who brought supplies to the Allied forces, you know, after D-Day, you know, you've got the 54th Massachusetts Infantry Regiment, the Union Army, of course, the famous Harlem Hellfighters of New York, the 369th Infantry Regiment in World War I, and then, of course, World War II, the Triple Nickel. So as you can see throughout the ages, there are countless stories of African Americans who made outstanding contributions while serving, you know, their country. For centuries, you know, African Americans have served in the Army, and specifically in the Army Reserve. So we've been there. We've been there consistently. And we've been there when our country needed us. We've been there.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you feel we can learn from that? I mean, I know, and I see the good news here. I will say is that I think it's hopefully becoming more recognized in this year's Black History Month more than ever in my whole life. You know, you're hearing about some of those stories. We're hearing about it right now on the phone, right? And from you. And that's good news. Mm-hmm. It's good to know who's been there and done the work, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a really wonderful.
Absolutely.
What other thoughts? How does somebody become a chaplain in the Army Reserve? Do they have to become a chaplain before they go into the Army Reserve, or how does that work?
Well, it's actually a 3 or 4 tier process, but obviously the individual must have gone to seminary, which is normally like a 3-year process at the master's level. They must be endorsed by an organization because the Army Reserve, which is the third component of the Army, pretty much follows all suit. So whether or not if the person was active or whether they're a National Guard, it doesn't matter. The criteria is the same for becoming a chaplain. And so obviously they have to go to school, but then that's on the civilian side. On the military side, then they have to be trained. They have to go through the Army Chaplain Center School because essentially in the civilian context, you know, if you're just pastoring a church or synagogue, you know, it's all civilian, but you have to make that transition from civilian to soldier because you are now executing ministry in what we call a pluralistic environment. So even though I might be Christian, but being an Army chaplain, I am still the chaplain for everyone. You know, I'm still a chaplain for if I have Jewish soldiers, if I have Catholic soldiers, if I have Islamic soldiers, it doesn't matter. If they have that thing that says U.S. Army, and they're wearing, then I have to give them. I'm required to give them the same kind of love, the same kind of respect, the same kind of listening to. And so that the process of becoming a chaplain is a little bit more complex than just being just a civilian pastor.
Sure. Yeah, and you're in an environment of some difficult moments in people's lives, right? I mean, you know, so there's a disaster here. The Army Reserve is there. The life and death scenarios, and so and as a teamwork too, right? You're working with I'll put it the word working. You're together with the family there, going into flood zones. I'm sure you guys are, they called out probably in Texas, right? They're probably still there, right?
Absolutely.
The reserve dealing with a lot of scenarios. And then after you deal with a scenario, to have somebody to talk to, this is good news if you need it, right?
Absolutely. We all, no man's an island, John Donne says, you know, we are part of a piece of the main. So quite frankly, whenever we are going through, anytime the human spirit are tapped with some kind of disaster or some kind of trauma, there are only two options. We either go inward or outward. And so having the chaplain there, and by the way, we also have female chaplains who bring a tremendous perspective, you know, to the process and the dialogue as well. So just having someone there that is trained, someone that is non-judgmental, but to say, look, hey, I'm here to hold your hands, even if your eyes are closed. I'm here to hold your hands. So it has been a joy, man. There's been nothing like it. It's been a joy.
Well, one, that's because you're a natural. He listened to you, and you're a natural. You're a man who I'd like to come and talk to. I'll tell you this straight out. I can feel it.
You're gracious.
This is wonderful. Amazing contributions of the African American soldiers. We're talking, with a very well-known man and a first, and that's really wonderful. Where can people go to for more information? In other words,
they can go to really. There is a website. There's the usar.army.mil. They can go to that website, and then of course, because you alluded to the training of chaplains, if they can go to, in fact, once they go to usar.army.mil, if they want to find mobile chaplains or anything, they can actually go into that search area and it'll be there. So that's an excellent source that they can go to.
Okay, Brigadier General, you have a wonderful day, and thank you for the most important work that you do. And congratulations on your career.
And
very,
thank you
very,
so
very wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Paul. Thank you.
Look forward to meeting you. Take care.